saving money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 26 colors of Owens Corning Duration shingles and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news as we talk Carrick's secret signing. We get the latest and greatest update on Tchouaméni from the person who broke the story 2 months ago. We just didn't know the name of the player. Also, a huge development around Elliot Anderson, Sky Sports, Ben Jacobs, Fabrizio Romano, all getting the drop on Anderson. Is it good news or bad news for Manchester United? And a raft of other stuff to go through as well in relation to the manager, Michael Carrick. Loads to get into. Obviously, an hour late this morning. If you ever wonder why the show isn't happening at 8 or 10, just follow my Instagram. I've pinned it in the live chat. I think it's at Goldbridge Mark. Check the story from yesterday and you'll know why I'm a little bit late this morning. So if you're ever worrying why we got no show, always go to the Instagram because the clues will probably be there. Okay, let's get into the show this morning. I've been cooking a response to this tweet I saw yesterday. Absolutely cooking this response. So basically, I did my show yesterday. Actually, it wasn't a tweet, it was a comment. Somebody in the comments said, if you're so great with all your opinions, why don't you run Man United? Why don't you be the CEO? Why don't you be the board? Why don't you be the director of football? Let's trust the people who are in power and stop listening to Goldbridge. And I was like, oh, I was into my third pint and I felt like going live. I was like, oh yeah, let's trust the people in power. Let's trust the people in power. That sounds like a great idea. Why don't we all just trust people in power? Why don't we just stop doing this show? Stop challenging everything. Let's all trust the people in power. That's a great idea, isn't it? You know what? I admit, Wilcox, Berada, Sir Jim Ratcliffe, they clearly know what they're doing. We shouldn't challenge them. We should not challenge people in power because that's worked really well in history, hasn't it? I mean, in the last 5 years, we've trust people in power, right? At 8 o'clock every Thursday night for a year, people used to stand at their door in the UK banging pots and pans because people in power told us to do it. People in power told us to wash our bloody shopping on a strain that was 50% less transmissible than the one that came out 6 months later, you know? So let's trust everybody in power. They locked us down and had us banging pots and pans. That actually happened. Future generations are going to take the piss out of us because we stood out, locked in our houses at 8 o'clock on a Thursday night, banging pots and fucking pans. To who? To who? The bloody people we were doing it for were busy working. So don't tell me ever to trust people in power. Anyway, let's go. Let's go. Who is the secret signing, Mark? Okay, we're talking Alex Scott. So Manchester United are set to submit an official bid for Bournemouth's Alex Scott as they look to firm up their interest in the midfielder. This is coming in from the Mirror. Also coming in from Samuel Lookhurst as well. The move would signal a more concrete approach after ongoing monitoring of the player's development. However, Bournemouth are in a strong negotiating position and are reluctant to sanction a sale. The club are understood to value Scott highly, with realistic estimates suggesting they would demand a fee in the region of 60 million euros, around 50 million pounds, before even considering parting ways with the midfielder, potentially complicating Manchester United's plans. So look, I think this goes, and Dalit is on the grass. Cool, that's on something to talk about a little bit as well. I think that in relation to Scott, this is an interesting move. I'm a big fan of him. I think Bournemouth have been fantastic over recent weeks, and he has probably been one of their star players with a couple of others. I like their left back as well. I think Scott, if Carrick is to get the job, I think Scott is a player that Michael Carrick would massively admire. I'm not saying he's like Carrick, but I think Michael Carrick would look at him and go, that is a Michael Carrick type of midfielder. He was fantastic against us. He was fantastic against Newcastle. Bournemouth have been fantastic. He's a very intelligent signing if we go for him. And obviously, some people like Belaba, Scott is there. Belaba's price is there and Scott's will be there. So you've got a player that's better than Belaiba and a price that's cheaper than Belaiba. For me, you've been off Belaiba. But this, what I would say about Scott is it's the... God, glasses are a bit misty. What I would say about Scott is that it can't be the main signing. You know, this can't be the main guy. This is the second or third signing. So I'm quite encouraged by this. I genuinely do think that Scott, to me, falls into the category of João Gomes, James Garner, you know, Ampadu, players around that, Tyler Adams, Belaiba. I think Scott is the best of that pick. So if we're looking at João Gomes, Ampadu, Tyler Adams, Belaiba, James Garner, I think those types of players, he is the top of that. But that's our second midfield signing. I'm not saying this is our... We can't go for Alex Scott because we're not getting Anderson, Tonali, Wharton, Bruno Guimarães. You go for Alex Scott as the number one second. And as I've said to you before, I don't see a negative in this story. I really don't. Like, we bought Dan James first in one summer transfer window. We bought Cunha first last year. Who you buy first doesn't mean it's your priority. And we do need, you know, I know the club gets a lot of criticism and a lot of people don't want Carrick, but you don't always get what you want. And when the transfer window opens, we can't judge the first signing as if that's our priority. We also have to get a left back. We have to get two other midfielders beyond our priority. So we might not get our A-star midfield signing until July, but that we shouldn't wait for that before we get our second and third. So Alex Scott, to me, I'm quite encouraged by this. I think this is an interesting development. And I do think it's probably a player that Carrick would look at. It's interesting because Lookhurst, who writes for The Sun now, has said that Man City remain confident of signing Elliot Anderson, dealing a major blow to Man United. Multiple sources insist City are the front runners. As alternatives to Anderson, Man United have lined up Tonali, Tchouaméni, Belaiba, Scott, Wharton. Now, I would hope that Belaiba and Scott are not on that list. Alternatives to, and this is what I'm saying, alternatives to Anderson are Tonali, Tchouaméni and Wharton. Not Belaiba and Scott should not be. And I think we've got to, we do have to be vocal about this, and we do need to, you know, fix this. There is three midfielders that Man United need to sign, and in each of those piles, there are different midfielders, and you do not mix them up. So if Elliot Anderson is our number one signing, and we don't get him, you then go Tonali or Tchouaméni or Bruno Guimarães, and you get one of them four. And then in the next category, you have Belaiba, Scott, you know, James Garner, people like that. So, but you don't not get Anderson and then sign Belaiba. That's shit. That is, you know, that will need to be called out. That is shit. We don't not get Anderson and then sign Scott or Belaiba. They cannot be the Anderson or Tonali alternative. They're not that level. These are the second midfielder that we need. These are the players that if you sign Tonali and it's Tonali and Mainoo, Scott is competing with Mainoo. That's what you do. You don't buy Scott to play with Mainoo. That would be, in my opinion, incredible. Scott is flavour of the month. I believe in Belaiba, says Keel. And Jay Baker, welcome to Members Club. Thank you very much for getting your badge in. What's all this about Anderson choosing Manchester City, Mark? Well, look, I was out last night. On a pre-arranged evening, and I saw it all coming through, and multiple sources. So Fabrizio Romano, Man City are pushing hard and leading the race for Anderson. They've been working on it for over a month and are prepared to offer him very big money and salary. Man United are in the battle and are monitoring the situation. They're not giving it up and would be ready to pounce if City can't close the deal. How many times have I told you this? I literally used this in January. I said, it feels to me like United are so bloody weak and have fallen off the cliff so much. They're lying at the bottom of it, Batten and Bruce, saying, please help, please help. There is absolutely no fight in this club at all. It feels to me like with Elliot Anderson, they've spun us since January. And I don't feel, you know, I've heard, look, I'm not even going to get into this because I've seen loads of people losing their shit about it. And they are right. I've seen loads of people saying it's bang out of order how this club this season has manipulated and took the piss out of its fan base again. Because it started on September the 1st. They didn't buy a midfielder again. Didn't buy a midfielder in the summer. The transfer window closes. Elliot Anderson, September the 1st, he is United's priority. And some people fall for it. I did. Oh, good. We're going for someone like that. And for 9 months, he is our priority. He is our priority. January transfer window, we do need a midfielder. We don't get one because Elliot Anderson's our priority. They've told us Elliot Anderson is our priority all season. And we're now hearing Man City are leading the race. Man United do want to sign him, but are ready to pounce if City can't close the deal. So basically what we're doing is, and it is a Friday night, and I don't know whether people do this anymore, but Friday night, you're down the local club and the girl of your dreams, or boy, whatever, is there and they're dancing with somebody else and they're really happy and they're smiling and they look like they're in love and you're stood there sipping on your Coke, hoping he falls over and breaks his neck and she doesn't like him anymore. And then you swoop in and go, hey, I'm here. And that just seems to be like what we're doing. We're watching somebody else take something we want and we're waiting, hoping that they mess it up. And what kind of approach is that? And look, it might not be true. Romano might have it wrong. But let's imagine what Romano is saying is true. We're waiting to pounce on somebody else who's doing what we should be doing. At the end of the day, Man City are, you know, doing all the work. And they've got Elliot Anderson and he wants them and they want him. And we're basically sat there going, I hope that fails so we can sweep in. I hope it doesn't fail, actually. I hope it doesn't fail because has anybody ever thought of it like this? If that's true and it falls through, he doesn't get the deal he wants, so he comes to Man United. I thought, and I do get very confused here because United spin around so much, I think they're pissed themselves. Certainly dizzy. I'm so dizzy, my head is spinning. I seem to recall, and, you know, by all means, pull me up on this one. I seem to recall United putting it out there that they only want players that want to play for Manchester United. So twice now, Semenyo, we wanted him, but he chose Man City, but we wanted him. And Elliot Anderson, we're waiting there in the wings in case the deal falls through. But it sounds like he wants to go to Man City. So if it falls through with Man City, he will come to us as second best and we'll take him. Things are changing, aren't they, at United? I smell bullshit. But look, I hope Elliot Anderson signs for Manchester United. I really, really do. But it does feel like it's drifting away. It does feel like it's drifting away, doesn't it? It really, really does. What do you think about Tchouaméni, Mark? Look, you know, like, look, first and foremost, I did see, and I will shout this out, you know, I'll always give credit where it's due. Andy Mitten, Athletic, was talking about Tchouaméni, and he said, interestingly, it's someone who Ralf Rangnick identified to Manchester United 4 years ago. He was absolutely adamant with that. It's funny how these things come around. My understanding for a couple of months has been it is possible. I'm not saying that it's going to happen at all, but he's the only player in Spain who Man United have been looking at, to my knowledge. Now, Andy Mitten, a couple of months ago, you might remember, said that Man United were looking at a midfielder in La Liga. Now, he's come out and said, and this is where this community is brilliant, because we're, you know, we don't forget. We did a video on that saying, who could that be? And it could have been Guerra at Valencia. It could have been Barrios at Atletico Madrid. It could have been the lad at Sevilla, who I can never pronounce his name. Because Andy Mitten said that Man United were looking at a midfielder in La Liga. He's now come out and said that's the only midfielder they're looking at in La Liga. So we know it's Tchouaméni and we know it's been going on for a couple of months. I would take Tchouaméni. I think there's two things I would say. First and foremost, I like the reference to Ralf Rangnick. I mean, the streets won't forget. We won't forget. Some of us in this community won't forget. There was one period of time where this football club looked like it might be heading in the right direction, and it was the Ralf Rangnick era. And that is why results actually do not matter. Results can and are very dangerous. Because the results under Ralf Rangnick were absolutely horrific. You would never want to keep Rangnick at the club based on his results. But when you listen to his interview, and he was basically saying, these players are toxic. This dressing room is toxic. We're not getting results because this bunch of players aren't good enough. We need open heart surgery. And he starts dropping names out like Alvarez and Tchouaméni and all these players, Vardiel, all these players that have ended up going elsewhere and doing very, very well. Rangnick gave a list of players, Lehmer, who was at, was he at Leipzig at the time, goes to bloody Bayern Munich, is brilliant. There were so many players that Ralf Rangnick gave to the club that we didn't use, and they went elsewhere and were brilliant. He spoke about open heart surgery, but the results weren't very good. Flip that to now, the results are good, but what's the vision? What's the squad? So sometimes you've got to be very careful about results, because there's a lot of people out there saying, well, we should go with this current setup because the results are good. But the results were crap under Rangnick, and it was definitely the person to rebuild the club. So results can be very, very dangerous. Do I think we'll get Tchouaméni? I think it's very difficult. I think United would try and are clearly trying to do it. I would listen to Romano on the fact that the player probably wants to stay at Real Madrid. I do think it's problematic. Sorry, I've got a bit of hay fever today. It's problematic taking a player that might not want to come. And we have this problem with Frenkie de Jong. But in seriousness, right, I do think with transfers, and this is just my opinion, and you won't get this on Sky Sports, and you won't get this on Match of the Day, and you won't get it on Football Focus. Well, you won't get it on Football Focus anymore because it's finished. I mean, I would have presented that. Why did they get rid of that Football Focus? I would have, you know, just give me a go. Give it a go. I'd have done it for free. Football Focus is football heritage. I'd have done that for free for 6 months. Let's see what happens. Anyway, it's gone. But look, you won't get on this on the mainstream. And I don't know why, because I think it works quite well. But when we look at, when you look at Man United signings, I'm guilty of this. And I think we're all guilty of this. We look at a signing and it's very much like, you know, if you see a sofa in a catalogue and you go, that's a nice sofa, or Pinterest or whatever, Pinterest or whatever you want to call it, right? You see a sofa in a living room with a roaring fire and it looks really cozy and you buy that sofa, yeah? It never looks the same in your living room, does it? Because you've got a knobhead cat getting cat hairs all over it. You know, you spill your soup on it. It doesn't match the floor and it looks great in the catalogue, but it doesn't look as good in your kitchen. It's like when you go clothes shopping, or if you're looking online and you go on, I don't know, Boohoo Man or whatever, and you see a guy in a hoodie, and you know he's there with his mates and maybe a couple of women, and he looks absolutely the dog's bollocks, right? And you go, I'm gonna get one of them, and it comes and it gets delivered to your house, and you put it on. You've probably got it a size too small. Your hair looks crap. You've not got matching trousers on, and it's the same hoodie, but it don't look as good as on you. And I think with United signings, we do this a lot. We see a player and we go, ooh, look at that. That looks brilliant. That looks brilliant. And then you bring it to Man United and it's not as good. And you play this trick of, well, they just weren't that good in the first place. No, it does look good on that person. That hoodie looks good on that person. We're not using the bikini one. No. That sofa does look good in that catalogue because of everything that's around it. But that sofa doesn't look good in your living room because you haven't got the good stuff around it. Your living room isn't as good as that catalogue. Your body isn't as good as the guy in the bloody, wearing the hoodie in the catalogue because he's got hair and makeup and everything. And this is the mistake we make at Man United, is that we see something in the catalogue and we go, oh, that's going to be great here. And then we don't realise what's here. I think Paul Robinson used to be a moderator on the chat. It always resonates with me. How long before a new signing gets dragged down to the level of the dressing room? And it happens time after time after time. You look at Mbeumo at Brentford last season, and you look at Cunha at Wolves last season. In underdog teams, they look like they can do no wrong. You're like, you put Cunha in an Arsenal shirt or Mbeumo in a Newcastle shirt, they're going to cook. They are going to cook. Look at them now in a Man United shirt. First few months, good. Last few weeks, they're not at the same level. And yet, they looked amazing last season. And until we solve that problem, players don't solve the problem. Players don't solve the problem at Man United, because how good they look in the catalogue somewhere else ain't going to be how they look in a Man United shirt, because we ain't got the catalogue background. So my concern with Tchouaméni is, he does look good at Real Madrid, but look at what he's got around him. Mbappe, Vinicius Jr., Rudiger's behind him, Bellingham, Valverde. He's got good players around him. You bring him to Man United, Harry Maguire behind him, Bruno in front of him, Mainu on the left. You know, I'm not saying they're bad players, but they ain't Bellingham, they ain't Rudiger, and they ain't Mbappe. So we do need to consider that players are important this summer, but I would hold that analogy in your head. Things look great in the catalogue. They don't necessarily look great in your house or on you. And until we solve that, that's the problem. And the house analogy isn't the squad. It's the owners. We need to provide that catalogue background for that sofa or sofa to go in, you know? And we've never done that. So we always overhype signings because it looks great in the catalogue. And then we moan about them being a flop. But the surroundings in that catalogue are not what we put them into. You know, in the catalogue, they might be in a really nice suit at an amazing plush wedding. We take that suit, we put it on in a sewer. You know, their suit ain't going to look as good. It's not. I only want players. Lou Macari's Chippy says, I only want players who want United. It's essential. It is, right? You've got to make them want United, though. If Elliot Anderson wants Man City, you move away. You don't sit there with a begging bowl going, come to us if you don't like it there. No. You've got to convince these players. Why, after 9 months, have we not convinced these players? Shaheen says, hi, Mark. Irrespective of the manager or players we sign, would you take a top four finish and top 16 in the Champions League, FA Cup and maybe Carabao Cup next season if offered today? Maybe Carrick is the guy before the guy, says Shaheen. Look, on the manager situation, there has been a few updates coming in around it. I think it was Ben Jacobs who said yesterday that if Thomas Tuchel had not extended his contract with England, Man United would have gone all in on Tuchel. They planned to contact him early to get his interest and they wanted to advance it with him. However, Tuchel's new deal ruled that out. I think that people will never understand just how embarrassing that is. I don't think people will ever understand how ridiculous it is that United basically got snubbed by England. Like, Tuchel would have been the guy who would have been our manager. I would take that over what we have at the moment every day of the week. He is an elite coach, way better than what we've got at the moment and way better than a lot of the options that we could look at. Like, you know, it's nothing against Carrick. Tuchel is up here and Carrick is down here. In relation to experience, Premier League experience, Champions League experience, handling big players, Tuchel is up here and Carrick is down here. But also Tuchel's up here and Glasner's down here and Iriola's down here, you know, and Xavi's down here. Like, Tuchel is way up there. So the fact that he chose England over Man United, I don't think you need to be a certain age to understand this. You don't reject Man United for a national job. You just don't. National job is a retirement job or a cruise. It's not football. All right, it's great when it's the Euros and the World Cup, but you're off for the rest of the year. Who gives a shit about international breaks? It's not intense. Most people who are in international jobs are because they can't get a decent club job. That's why Roberto Di Matteo spends all his time in international jobs, because he wouldn't get a job better than fucking Wigan outside. So the glory of managing people like Belgium and Portugal makes him feel relevant. And he's not relevant. But Tuchel could have managed Man United and he chooses England. That's if I was Sir Jim Radcliffe, I'd be like, I'd just fire people randomly. I'd go, you're fired. But I work in accounts. You're fired. Because Tuchel, well, it was nothing to do with me. You're fired. Like, I'd fire people because I'd be like, it's embarrassing that Thomas Tuchel would stay at England over taking the Man United job. Something's really wrong there. But I think Ben Jacobs said about the manager situation yesterday that United will start interviewing or contacting managers once we've got Champions League football, which to me seems a bit strange because I would have thought you'd be talking to them before. I would have thought that if Carrick gets Champions League football, that's going to be a PR to say, give him the job. I really do hope that there is a chance of Manchester United interviewing other people. I just want that as a minimum. I expect them to give it Carrick, but interview other people. So at least if it does go wrong with Carrick and we didn't interview anybody, you've basically just done what you did with Ollie. But if you do interview people and you give it to Carrick, you give him a bit of credibility. And at least if it goes wrong, we can go, well, you should have given it to them. So I think it covers all areas, really. But look, I saw a tweet last night, like, Man United are seriously thinking about giving the job to a guy who had a 47% win rate at Middlesbrough, with bad football, the magnitude of getting this decision wrong is going to hurt the club for years. I get that side of things, but ultimately, I think that makes it more about Carrick. And I think, as I've said to you many times before, we should be making this more about the club and their inability to actually interview other people and do a proper process, which is what Chelsea are doing now, aren't they? I mean, look, Carrick himself was asked about it yesterday in the interview about when he expects to get clarity over the Man United job. And he says, it's not something in terms of deadline that I'm really chasing. It'll become clear when it becomes clear. I'm here at the moment to help the team and club get results. At the moment, we're doing all right. We can keep pushing and get better. And that's generally all I'm focused on right now. I mean, look, the only thing I would say about Carrick is if we give him the job, we're doing him a massive favour and we're taking a big leap of faith. And should Man United be doing that? You know, that's complimentary. I'm saying if they give Carrick the job, in my opinion, they're doing him a massive favour. He probably shouldn't get the job based on his experience. They're just doing it based on results. It's a huge leap of faith and it could cause a massive drop-off. And the people who are worried about that, including myself, aren't wrong for thinking this is a huge risk. The club are taking a huge risk giving it to Carrick. They're only doing it because of results. And as I said, Ralph Rangnick, the results were crap, but he should have been kept on at United because what he spoke about. Look, you've got Michael Carrick, who's had short-term results and there's no vision and there's no performance that we're aware of and there's no plan that we're aware of. You've got Ralph Rangnick, who had crap results, but a huge vision and a huge plan. And named players he wanted. What would you pick? I'd pick the vision and the plan and the players every day of the week. And you know, we haven't got Michael Carrick saying we're going to need open heart surgery. This squad's not good enough. We need these types of players to come in. We want to play this brand of football. We're not getting any of that. We're just getting results with a good bunch of lads. And that to me is not a vision. So it is a huge risk and a huge leap of faith. But I think they will do it. I do think they'll do it. On more positive news, De Ligt is back on the grass. Now, he is from Holland and people are going to start getting the wrong idea here. We mean he's back training on the grass. De Ligt's photos this morning coming out of him training on his own on the grass at Carrington. What does that mean? Well, I said to you a few days ago that I think Dorgu will be back in contention for Liverpool a week on Sunday, not Brentford. I think with De Ligt, look, De Ligt needs to be very careful because you have to be very measured about this. If De Ligt is to play for Manchester United again, it's probably going to be in the last two games of the season where we're in the Champions League, they're dead rubber games against Forest and Brighton. If De Ligt gets back for Forest and Brighton and then goes to the World Cup and then he gets injured again, I will be right at the front of the queue to say, well, this is Luke Shaw. This is Luke Shaw again, isn't it? Getting fit for your national team to get injured again for your club team. So whilst it's really good that De Ligt is back, and I'm sure the World Cup is a motivation and the World Cup is massive, I understand that. Man United does need to come first here. Like, he hasn't kicked a ball for us since December. I hope the player and the club are basically saying, look, there has to be some intelligent thinking here. You haven't played football since December. You come back and play a couple of coasting games, one a week, and then you're going to go to an intense tournament where you're travelling loads and playing every 3 or 4 days. Is that the best? And I know I sound heartless there, and I know a lot of people will disagree with me, but we have been down this road. And I was very critical of Luke Shaw going injured from February to the Euros, not even fit for the Euros, but fit for the final and then injured till the following Christmas. It was bang out of order. And we pay the wages of these players. So it's great that De Ligt's back, but he's probably not going to be back ready to play games for at least, I would say, 3 weeks. By which case, you're nearly at the end of the season. So, I mean, he doesn't even start for the Netherlands either. They picked Liddy. They pick Van Heck, don't they? And Van de Ven. And I don't think Van de Ven starts centre-back. I think he's at left-back. Van Dijk. I really hope that De Ligt comes back for a couple of games at the end of the season and then takes the summer off, because I think that would be really good to get him to play a couple of games see how his back does, then have a little bit more rest, then come back for pre-season. And I'm going to stick to that. I don't think he should go to the World Cup. For our sake, I don't think he should go to the World Cup. And I'm, you know what? I know that's harsh, but Man United comes first for me, not the players playing for their country. Next season, very big season for us, we need a fit De Ligt for next season. He was our best centre-back until he got injured. And Maguire's done really well, but De Ligt was our best centre-back. He was arguably our best player up until the end of November with Bruno. So I think that with De Ligt, I hope that this is just very steady bringing back, maybe get a couple of games before the end of the season and then another month off and then back for pre-season. That's the way I look at it, you know. Does Data Deem randomly fire people, says One Inch Wonder.
Well, at the end of the day, Data Deem is all about the data. So, you know, I can analyse everything like a fish and I can see where the gaps are. And if you clock in 2 minutes late, that's 2 minutes of productivity lost for the business. And I will snitch. I will snitch to the boss and I will load up the Excel spreadsheet and prove where the gaps are and the efficiency that could be made by stacking them. The fact that he's German picking England over United makes it even more embarrassing, says BRT. If he was English, there would at least be a patriotic argument. Good point. Would you still back Carrick if he gets the job, says Rain? Look, I think what people don't understand about me is that I'm very passionate, as I'm sure many of you are, and Manchester United matters to me, and football has always been a huge part of my life. And if Man United lose, it messes up my mood. And if Man United win, it dictates my mood. So I'm very passionate about Man United winning games and I don't like losing. So if there are decisions to be made about the pathway to what I think is Man United success and I don't agree with them, then I'll be very passionately against them. I don't think Carrick's the right guy for Man United. I think it's too big a risk. I don't think Belaba or Van der Ven are the right players for Man United. I think, it's terrible recruitment. But if they're holding up a Man United shirt, I ain't going to be there going, get out your shit. And that's just wrong. I saw people doing that with Ugarte. It's wrong. Once they hold the shirt up, you have to give them a chance. I might only give them 4 games because they're absolute shit, but I'd like to say I'd give them a season. So I will back them. And if Carrick gets the manager's job, he ain't going to get sacked straight away, is he? You know, we might have him for 3 years. So I would have to back him. I just would say, I might be on the right side of history here that I don't think it's the right thing to do. And if it does go wrong, I'll be absolutely loading it onto the board and I'll load it on the board anyway. As I said, legend of the club, comes across as a nice guy, fantastic footballer. I don't think he's up to this job though. I don't think he is. But if he gets the job, obviously I'm going to back him, aren't I? I backed Moyes and I knew it was a mistake. I knew Moyes was a mistake and I did back him. Ladder analogy, Amrim to Carrick is a step down, says Jack Fraser. And I don't want players who don't want to be United, says Lou Macari. Would you like a player like Kroupi to compete with Sesko over an experienced striker, says Jacob? I'd like a player like Kroupi anyway because he can play lots of different positions, but he is still a work in progress and it's not experience. Can you do the stats on Anderson versus Tchouaméni, please, says Damien. Can I come back to that? Because it will take me ages to load up, but it's a good point. Let me just put that down as well. There we go. If it wasn't for our experience with Ollie, this board would have already given Carrick a 5-year deal. This Anderson news doesn't surprise me at all either, says Ben. I just think that, I think one of the overarching things I would say is that when we sacked Amorim, we were told we were going to go for a best-in-class manager. And all season, we've been told we're going to go for Elliot Anderson. If you gave me Thomas Tuchel and Elliot Anderson, I would be ridiculously excited this summer. If it's going to be Belaba and Carrick, I'm very concerned. That's not negativity. That's just my mood would be up here if they bought what they said they were going to buy. And my mood is down here on what the reality is. Who's responsible for that? Sir Jim Radcliffe, Joel Glazer, Omar Berada, Jason Wilcox. I know the pathway to excitement and I know the pathway to fear. I feel we might have a summer of fear. It doesn't mean it won't work. It's worked this season. I didn't actually think we'd finish in the top four and it has worked. Obviously, there's context to that. There's nuance to that, but it's still a fact. We're going to finish in the top four by the looks of it.
And I was scared in January when we went with an interim and we didn't buy anyone in the window. So, it has worked. I cannot definitively tell you it won't work with Belabor and Van der Ven and Carrick. I can't tell you it won't work. But I can tell you I'd be excited with Tuchel and or Nagelsmann and Anderson and Tonali and Tchouaméni and players like that. And I want to be excited. I want to be excited. When we brought Jose Mourinho in, I was excited. The share price went through the roof. Everyone else was excited. Everybody was excited as fans, but also industry was excited. That's why the share price went up. I just want to be excited. It's an exciting opportunity. We're going to be in the Champions League. We've never played in the new Champions League format in 2 years. We're in the Champions League. It's an exciting summer if the club grasp the excitement. It's really exciting, but I don't think they're grabbing that. I think they're going, how do we save money? We've missed out here. How do we save money? I mean, look, we would be at the front of the queue for Elliot Anderson if we were splashing the cash. Read between the lines. Read between the lines. Sky, Romano, Ben Jacobs, they're all saying it looks like Man City are going to get Elliot Anderson. And a lot of them are saying Man City are making a good offer in wages and transfer fee. And sadly, there are people in our fan base now who have become accountants and go, well, that's acceptable. They're going to pay more money than us and they're going to give him better wages than us. And I sort of look at it and go, at what point did that become an acceptable reason not to sign a player for Man United? It's not acceptable to miss out because they're going to pay better wages and better money. You get what you pay for. I went for a lovely meal last night at Tattoo in Birmingham, right? Fantastic food. Very, very expensive, but it was a treat. The food was amazing. You look at the bill and you go, I'm glad you're paying. But you look at the bill and you go, oh my God, you almost want to frame it. It was ridiculous. Ridiculous amount of money. Well, some people wouldn't say it was ridiculous, but it was a lot of money. But the food was amazing. You get what you pay for. I could have paid a lot less than that and gone and had something that was nowhere near as good. And for some reason in our fan base, we have become accountants where we go, I wouldn't pay. I saw a content creator the other day saying, how much would I pay for Anderson? I don't think I'd go above 70. And I felt like going, who are you to say that? Why are you saying that? I wouldn't pay 50 for Belabor because I don't think he's worth it. I don't think he's very good. But Elliot Anderson's being chased by Man City. And he's better than Belabor. So if it takes 90 or 100 to get Anderson, and let's not forget, Declan Rice went for 100, Caicedo went for 100, it is the right price. We're not being ripped off £100 million for the most eligible midfielder in the Premier League. Why wouldn't you pay it? I'll consider Stiller and Scott good main midfield signings if that allows us to get a third midfielder. Look, Gamer, there are ways we can do it. I can't remember whether it was yesterday. But I reckon you could get Tchouaméni, Scott and Stiller for about 150 million quid. That would be an incredibly exciting summer. You get Tchouaméni, who's established. You get Stiller, who's a bit of a Bruno, a bit of an exciting player, a bit of a leader, a bit of a punt from a foreign league. And then you get Scott, an exciting player who's proven in the Premier League. I mean, I think the balance of those three would be incredible with Maynou. Imagine the midfield next season of Stiller, Maynou, Scott and Tchouaméni. I mean, that to me would be massively exciting. And there are other combinations you can build, but I'd be ecstatic with that. And also, I think with Maynou, Stiller, Tchouaméni and Scott, it's hard to say who the starting two is. And the competition would be incredible. I like the hierarchy there. It could be Stiller and Tchouaméni. It could be Maynou and Scott. It would be an amazing balanced four there at a reasonable price. Tonali, Scott and Tchouaméni would be ideal midfield signings, says Amit. I mean, again, another combination. I don't see that happening because Tonali's going to be 100, Chumini's going to be 60 to 70 and Scott's going to be 50. So it's 220 million there. It just won't happen. But you can get three for about 150. And we should be looking at that. Are you worrying Anderson would regress like Belabor and we waste 100 million, says Vagabond? But that's what I mean about the I don't know whether people wear Speedos anymore, but, you're looking in the Speedo category of the catalogue and there's a guy there stood in his Speedos next to the swimming pool. And not in that way, but you're looking at it and going, he's making a statement. And you go, I'm getting a pair of them for holiday, right? You get that pair of Speedos and in your mind on the plane to Mallorca, you're going,
you wait till I get them Speedos on. You've got the vision of the catalogue going, you know, and everyone's looking at them and you go, yeah, you wait for this. And then you put them on, you walk down with your pale legs and your beer belly hanging over the edge and everyone's laughing. And it's still the same pair of Speedos, but it's on a different person. And exactly, you know, you bring Elliot Anderson into Man City and he probably looks like the guy in the catalogue because he's surrounded by brilliant players. You bring him into Man United and he probably looks like shit because it's not the same background and it's not the same situation. And every signing we make, we all fall into the trap of the excitement of, oh, I'm going to look just like that. And, you know, sometimes you do, but that's because you put the work in. Have we put the work in to provide the platform for that pair of Speedos? And we haven't. We've let ourselves go at Man United. You know, we haven't been down gym. You know, we haven't even got the pool. And it's raining. Yeah? And there's shit all over the garden. And, it definitely doesn't look like that. So any signing that comes into United has a very big chance of failure because of the surroundings. We haven't created that surrounding. Whereas if you go to Man... And this is why Elliot Anderson probably wants to go to Man City, because he knows that analogy. He knows if he goes to Man United, there is a bigger chance of his career getting fucked up than there is at Man City. Regardless of whether Pep's there, the club's mentality isn't going to change with Pep going. They still want to win every week. They want to win the Champions League. They want the best team in the league. So people get locked on, well, if Pep goes, he might come to Man United. If Pep goes, Man City is still a sunny resort beach, everything's picturesque, and Man United's still a shithole. Just because Pep goes, it doesn't change the background, you know? Scott is a flavour of the month. We've done that one. Thank you very much. Okay, what a show this morning. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Apologies that it was a little bit late. Gazzy says, Belabor ran the show against Chelsea. Miles clear of Scott. And one bad season doesn't make a bad player. Shittiest comment of the day, but some people will believe it. I watched the game. He didn't run the show against Chelsea at all. Brighton's whole team ran the show against Chelsea, but he did play quite well. One game is like saying one sunny day doesn't make a summer. One bad season makes a huge, huge, huge risk. And I saw something about Belabor today that Brighton will not accept £50 million for him. Well, it's off. Because anybody who pays over £50 million for Belabor this summer should get Pratt tattooed across their forehead. Whatever club does it. He ain't worth more than 50 million. So if Brighton won't let him go for anything, you know, if Brighton want more than 50 and somebody's willing to pay that, idiots. Regardless of whether Gazzy's right, okay, let's pretend he's a world beater. He's had a shit season. He's had one good game. You don't pay £50 million. So let's stop having a conversation about whether Belabor's shit or not. Let's have a conversation about his price. He ain't worth more than £50 million and Brighton want more. So you walk. You walk away. Because he ain't worth what they want to pay. We need the same energy if he goes World Cups as Robert McCormack. And does Data done that one? Okay. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Stay safe. What do we got today? Look, Diamande could still be a player Man United are looking at. We've got live Bundesliga footage tonight. So the actual game on That's Football, 7:30, Leipzig against Union Berlin. Ilias Anta, interesting striker at Union Berlin as well. Another good prospect. Potentially United could be looking there. But Jan Diamande at Leipzig is well worth a watch. So make sure you tune into That's Football tonight at 7:30. Got more content for you today on the United Stand as well. I don't know what's happened to the live chat. It just seems to have froze today. Apologies for that. I'm stuck on Alicia Media. Every new manager is a risk. Why were you banging pots? Yeah, I mean, look, we will get laughed at for this for generations. So basically, during COVID, what happened in the UK is this very dangerous COVID strain came out and we all got locked in our house for about 3 months. And 3 months later, a new strain came along that was 50% more infectious, but they let us back out. And it's never been lost on me that we couldn't leave our houses for 3 months. But then 3 months later, a 50% more infectious strain came out and they let us back out again. And throughout this 2-year period, on a Thursday night at 8 o'clock, you used to go and stand on your drive and bang pots and look in the eye of your neighbour. And all because everyone told us to do it. So my message is, people in power don't always need to be listened to. So don't ever tell me to trust Sir Jim Radcliffe or Omar Barada or Jason Wilcox, because I think you have to question those in power when you think you're right. Thanks everyone for watching. Stay safe. I'll speak to you in a bit.